Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, which shall be the basis of our meditation, the Holy Spirit has caused to be written in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, as it was read in the Gospel lesson, but especially thinking of these words, the words of Jesus: "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat." In Christ Jesus, dear Christian friends, so there you have it. Those who do good will go into eternal life. Those who don't will go into eternal punishment. The words of Jesus himself. And what has your pastor been telling you all these years? He's been telling you you're saved by grace, through faith, not by feeding the hungry, or clothing the naked, or visiting the sick and in prison, or all those other things we just read. Isn't that right, Pastor? That's what you've been telling him.
Yeah, mostly right, some other things too.
So what do we do with this text? How do we explain these words of Jesus? Actually, it's not so difficult. The judgment is rendered at the very beginning of the text, when Jesus separates the people on his right and his left. That's the judgment. So having been judged, let's think about those two different groups. Those on the right have nothing but good spoken about them. Now you and I both know that not everything we do is good. We have plenty in our lives that are sinful. In fact, you would be ashamed to tell me some of the things that you have done or said or thought, as I would be ashamed to tell you. But Jesus makes no mention of such things. And those on the left, I don't mean you people, my goodness, there's not a single word of good said about them. Nothing but their failures to show mercy to others. Now again, we know that even non-Christians do acts of goodness, kindness, and mercy. People do that out of a sense of civil righteousness. Some non-Christians even look better to our observation than many Christians do. So why does Jesus have nothing good to say of them? Why is it all doom and gloom? Because, as the Epistle to the Hebrews says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Those on the right are there because they have believed the promises of God, that they are declared righteous through faith in the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. And the works, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, they are the fruits of their faith. They show the faith in Jesus that is within them. Jesus points to those things not because they have saved them, but because they are the evidence of their faith. Those on the left are there because no amount of good works could ever be sufficient to pay for the price of their sins. They are justly condemned, for where there is no faith, there are no good works. There is no salvation for them. For as much as you have done it unto the least of these my brothers, you have done it unto me. So, my friends in Christ, when have you done it? How many people, hungry people in Ridgeville Corners, have you fed? How many naked people roaming the streets have you clothed? How many prisoners have you visited? How many strangers have you invited into your home? The truth is that here in America, we are so blessed, we seldom see such people. Oh yes, we may see the occasional homeless under the overpasses on the interstates in big cities as we travel. I've seen them over and over again. But their numbers are really quite small in comparison to our total population. Generally speaking, we can live our daily lives without ever being troubled by such things, and thus not feel the need to help. But there is a way that we can help. 31 years ago, a pastor in Nebraska traveled to Russia and Latvia, and what he saw there tore open his heart. Children in orphanages that had nothing, who just existed, living without love, without possessions, without hope. He returned to the United States determined that we here in America had to do something to help these kids. And so Orphan Grain Train was born. Pastor Ray Wilkie asked a member of his congregation, 72-year-old Clayton Andrews, to put together a plan to help. And for 23 years until age 95, Clayton led Orphan Grain Train to move from a local operation in a small city in Nebraska to a national organization with 27 branches from coast to coast, which has now sent relief not just to a few orphanages, but to literally millions of people in 71 countries around the world. In the past few years, Orphan Grain Train has distributed almost $50 million of relief a year to 27 countries at an administrative and fundraising cost of just 1.8%. Let me put it another way. If you were to take all of the aid that we delivered last year and put it in semis, and then lined up those semis bumper to bumper, it would take a line of semis 5 miles long with no space between them. Or let me put it another way. If you were to take a house of 2,000 square feet and fill every room from the floor to the ceiling, you would need a house 60 stories high to contain all of the aid that was given last year. I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. Last year, Orphan Grain Train sent 8 million meals to people overseas, as well as many truckloads of food to various domestic locations. I was naked, and you clothed me. Last year, well over 250,000 boxes of clothing were delivered to men, women, and children, some of whom were literally naked, others of those who had very little clothing. I was sick, and you visited me. Last year, many medical supplies and equipment were sent to doctors, hospitals, and individuals whose lives were enriched by the provision of these supplies. Educational materials, and yes, toys for children, some of whom had never had any, were all sent to people throughout the world. Quite a few years ago, Orphan Grain Train expanded its service by opening a branch in Ohio. Located in Napoleon, Nancy Helmke has been serving as branch manager, and all of you are invited to help. How can you help? Several ways. Any of you can collect and give gently used clothing or medical devices no longer needed. Perhaps a few times a year, maybe even once a month, some of you might venture over to Napoleon to help sort and pack items that may be sent all over the world to assist people whose needs are far greater than our own. And any of you can give a monetary gift to help with the cost of shipping. Since all people at our branches work as volunteers, there are no salaries to be paid, so costs are minimal. But it does cost to ship things, and you all have the opportunity to help in that way. But all of you, in whatever way, have the opportunity to do what the text says, what Jesus asks, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and bring healing to the sick. There's been a lot of hurt in our country these past few years due to a virus that has devastated many families. Maybe some of you have experienced it in your own families. But there is a different hurt for millions of people throughout the world. The hurt of hunger and homelessness and nakedness and sickness that goes on not for a few months or even a year, but many times for a lifetime. We might summarize Jesus' words by saying, "When I was hurting, you brought me relief." That's what Orphan Grain Train is all about. It is my hope that many of you will participate in one way or another. The work is not hard, it's not complicated, but it is a work of love. A work proceeding from faith that pleases our Savior and receives his word of invitation. "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world." And those words will be spoken to each of you whose faith in the suffering, death and resurrection of Jesus guides and motivates your life and will inevitably lead you to actions of mercy and compassion to those who are in need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.